There are 16 therefores in the book of Hebrews, one for every chapter if you were to break it out. It's a common word in the New Testament, 159 times it's used, 33 spoken by Jesus, over 70 times written in Paul's letters. It's a word of conclusion or a word of deduction. Therefore, I think therefore is a very important word, and therefore I'd like to consider the definition of the word therefore. Therefore, look to the screen if you will, and we will look at the word therefore together. Say it with me, therefore means for that reason or consequently. And that's true of the Greek, that's true of Webster's, Oxford's dictionaries. That is the same definition, for that reason, consequently. As well, Webster's adds another definition is on that ground or to that end. And sometimes we come across a therefore in Scripture, and when we do, we need to stop. And always, if we're not mindful of what came before that, you need to go back. If you're just reading along in a devotional and you pick up and you start with the word therefore, it's really wise to stop for a moment, go back and make sure of what was being written by the writer prior. Again, in the book of Hebrews, 16 times we read these therefores, and I just took some time this week to kind of walk through them, and there are some powerful words given, and few as powerful, though, as what we're going to look at this morning. This is our 25th time to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And had we left off there as we did a week ago and just said we're done with the chapter, it would have been a tragedy when you think about it, because the writer is not done writing. It's man that has come along, and we add the chapters and verses just to try to help us be able to move through. Can you imagine a letter this long, and you just are reading through it and trying to find your place? And so we have the chapters added. Man edits them in. But if you were to end with chapter 11, it's a wonderful chapter. It's a famous chapter of faith. And we've walked through 24 weeks of that and end right there, we would be missing the therefore. And the therefore of chapter 12 is a very, very important therefore. So picture with me as we set this up, go back over the 24 weeks. Go back with me over the characters, all the trials, all the victories, everything that they did by faith. Go back and picture all of those great Old Testament heroes of faith that we've been looking at. And then we come to the next verse, written by man is chapter 12, verse 1. But in your mind, just realize you're just following right on through, leaving chapter 11, we move into therefore. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and say it with me out loud together. Would you read it with me? And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Already there are a few things we know. There are witnesses. There's the crowd that is observing and watching. There's the race, and we're all running in this race. It's not an easy race. It's a race of perseverance. Pastor Mike is not here this morning. He is running his first ever triathlon this morning. How many think we should just stop everything and just fast and pray the remainder of this morning for Mike, huh? That's a big feat. That's a big thing for him. And I think he might be done. Nick, is he done by now? Do we know? We don't know. Haven't received the text. Oh, let's pray right now. Let's bow our heads and pray. But Mike's biting off something big for him, and I'm proud of him. And there are others there. We talked about it last night, comparing to some of those top-notch. He said some of the athletes and the bikes that are being used. He said, I was amazed in that environment. But you know why? Because a race is hard. When you run a race, it's difficult. How many know that last guy? It was really, really hard for him. Races are made to be a challenge. Sin, then, is mentioned here as the great inhibitor to our race. Maybe picture that poor guy with those hurdles. Sin is that thing that we have to constantly be warring against, is what the writer says here. And then he adds more instruction, verses 2 and 3 today. Let us then fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The heart of the book of Hebrews, and we've been looking at this week after week, the heart of the book of Hebrews is don't give up on your faith in Jesus Christ. It's not just simply don't give up on faith. You can have faith in any number of things. The heart of Hebrews and the heart of the Word of God is don't give up on your faith, the object of your faith, which is Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, a few of those therefores that as I went through them this week and looked at them, they have to do with this very thought. The entire book of Hebrews is a call for us to continue in our faith. Don't give up. Don't turn back. Chapter 2, verse 1 on the screen says, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. Chapter 4, verse 11, let us therefore make every effort to enter into that rest that God gives us in Christ, so that no one will fall. 3 verses later, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. It's a key to understanding the book of Hebrews, is that it is a call to you and I to hang on to our faith, to not turn back, that we are to press on, keeping our eyes on Jesus. It's as relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago. But we've looked at through this series, remembering and reminding ourselves that as he writes to the Hebrews, to the Jewish believers of Christ as their Messiah, they were going through incredible sufferings, incredible difficulties. And so then we understand even more why he would bring us into chapter 11, where he begins to give examples of great faith. Examples of what people did by faith. And we see that phrase over and over again. By faith, they accomplished great things. By faith, they endured great things. They suffered great things. And by faith, they held on and followed God. I like the way the New Living Translation words it. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. They're witnesses to the life of faith. So we look at Abraham, Noah, Enoch, Moses, each of those characters that we've spent these weeks on, they are witnessing to you and I of the life of faith. And everyone here, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are in a race, and it is a race that faith is at the core and the center of. And so we persevere. The main verb here, and there are many verbs used, but the main verb to these verses is that let us run. Let us run. It's easy, can something we can wrap into our minds, especially right after the Olympics, and I'm sure most of us at least caught part of them, but especially you look at those races, whether it be swimming or track and field, and we have the crowds and the stadium, you have the athletes, the competition, you have the award ceremonies, the victories, the losses, the injuries, the sheer emotion you can see bottled up in those athletes, so they are trying to concentrate and focus, and they are the greatest in the world. It's such an amazing moment. The crowd's emotions as well, the obvious hard work and discipline, and you have the opening and the closing ceremony, which I might add were totally bizarre this time, but we'll move on. And that is where the writer of Hebrews takes us to the word therefore. And there are just times for me when I read Eugene Peterson's message, I just have to bring it into a Sunday morning, and this is one of them. It's so good. He says, do you see what this means, all these pioneers? I have it there in your outline if it's in front of you. All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, he could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility that he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Everybody said amen. Say thank you, Eugene. Thank you, Eugene. I want to look at 6 things here. As we look at the race that we are in today that the writer gives us, and of course as we come into chapter 12, the race and the focus, we really are building out of chapter 11. But really we go back to chapter 10 where he is writing about the sufferings that they're going through, their property being confiscated, they had lost loved ones in persecution. But really we back up to chapters 8 and 9 because there he's talking about how the covenant is a greater covenant and the sacrifice of Jesus was once and for all compared to the sacrifices done daily in the temple and years before in the tabernacle. But really we back up even further. Do you get my point? We're reading through this letter, and we go all the way to the very beginning. It opens up, and there is a theme that we see throughout this book that we'll see here momentarily. But he brings all of it. It's really a culminating moment in chapter 12. He's getting near the end, and he's built it to this point of our race of faith. And the first thing he points out is the encouragement to our faith, and that is others that have run the race ahead of us. And this is a vital key of faith, and that's others like us that are running the race. It might be our contemporaries, and we look to people today. You may have someone in your life, and you look to them, and they just inspire you. They encourage you. They cheer for you. They pull for you, and that's an awesome thing. But as well, we have all of those that have come before us that as well have laid the foundation for us. They have run the race ahead of us, and we look to them, and the picture here is that they are looking over the portals of glory, if you will, and they are watching you and I run our race. It's why nations have, such as we have, a Memorial Day and President's Day, Independence Day, Veterans Day. Those are days we set aside to intertwine the past with the present, to look at the lives of those that have lived and the life that we are living, to look at the sacrifices that they made and the freedoms that you and I enjoy. We intertwine ourselves, and that's what the writer is doing here. He says there's this great crowd, and he uses the word there that they are witnesses. It's a very active word. It's that they're testifying to our race. Now, there are some that believe, obviously, it's simply that they've run their race and they testify of their walk of faith, their running of the race, so just like you and I are going to follow after them, and that is their testifying. Others believe fully that they are in that paradise with Jesus, but they're able to see you and I, and they're pulling for us. I don't care how you look at it, either way, the picture is that there's a race and someone is watching us and pulling for us. The place there is in the Greek games called a stadium. That's named after the stadion, which was 600 Greek feet. And a stadium was oblong in length, typically, and it had a square end at one end, and that's where everyone entered. And then go into the stands, and then the stands wrapped all the way around. And at the one end, the straight end, would be the beginning of the line. And there you'd have a pillar. And then at the end there, as it wrapped around, and the crowd looked upon that stadium, you would have then the judge sitting there, seated upon another, if you will, another seat there, and it's another pillar. And he would have the wreath there of victory. And so they would be running from pillar to pillar. They'd be running with their eye on the prize as he would sit there ready to award whoever won. Remember my years when I was a kid playing in various sports. Anytime to have my dad there was just always a thrill. And there were times that he traveled, he'd miss games. But when he could be there, and then there were times that my grandparents drove down about 5-6 hours from Indiana, Chicago side, and they'd come down to Carlinville, and if my grandfather was there especially, I would almost be distracted. I was so excited to get to play ball in front of him. Last year, I tried to make a few of the games of our high school boys that are playing in high school football, and I went to a Hillcrest Glendale game, and I was almost schizophrenic because we had kids on both sides of the field, so I went over and sat with the V-Heels, and I wanted to see Adam. And the first thing I'm asking, where's Adam? I don't care about the team. Where's Adam? I just want to see Adam. So I zeroed in. I'm watching Adam on that offensive line, really focusing, just acting like I'm a Hillcrest fan. Then I run over the other side and join the Spain family. Where's Kyle? Show me Kyle. And I'm zeroed in on Kyle. I'm acting like I'm a big Glendale fan. They don't know the difference, but how many know I wasn't there for either team? I was there to see the boys from Central play. And there's such an excitement and a pull for them. And as hard as we pull in those settings, as hard as you and I as Americans watch those incredible races, were those women running that relay absolutely amazing? And they pull the gold. It's just so exciting. And we pull and excited for them, but you realize what they're running for. They're just running for a gold medal. They're running for some fame, something that passes. You and I today, every one of us in this room, if we enter into faith in Christ, we are running for the life, for the race of all of eternity when we're running this race of faith. There's so much more at stake than going back at shame to a nation, a country, and saying, well, I got fourth place. There's so much more at stake. Whatever your take theologically, let's just bring it closer to home. And that's to ask an opening question today. Who can I look to that has already run the race of faith? Might be a relative, might be a friend, maybe someone that's already gone on into eternity. But who do you have that you look to? Because I'm telling you today, there are people pulling for you. I look around this room, many of you that are so involved and active in ministry, many of you to our children, to our kids, and I so appreciate you that teach Sunday school, that help Pastor Justin in whatever way. And I know that there's something within you. I had it in my teachers. I've had it when I taught young people years ago on a regular basis, and that is I was pulling for every one of them. Sat on my couch just this week, and one of our youth sponsors from 25, 26 years ago was in our home. And we were going down some of the names and trying, he was trying to remember some of the kids. And I kept bringing up names because of Facebook. It's reconnected me with many of the youth that Carl and I worked with those many years ago. And as we were going over some of the names, I could sense even in him, there was that desire. You're pulling, hoping that 25 years later, that they're still running the race they were when they were 16 and 17. Because someone's pulling. Who do you have that you are looking to that's already run the race ahead of you, that you can thank God for the example and that they're pulling for you today by their example? Second thing is a hindrance to our faith. And that is that sin that so easily impedes our race. By his challenge here, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Obviously, it's showing that this is not an easy thing, that this race gets difficult. And there are those hindrances, might even be sins. Maybe not in the truest sense of a sin, but it's an impediment is a good word for that in the Greek. Is that there are things before you and I that we might struggle on. And again, it may not be a genuine sin, but it's something that is pulling you back, that is dragging on you. That's why we notice in the swimming events, obviously, either it's a cap that they wear or that head is shaved. I swim on a regular basis, just trying to for my health, and I have all this thick head of hair. It just pulls when you're going through the water. It's amazing. It's amazing. It just hurts when you laugh out loud. You just laugh. But you notice Usain Bolt, who won the 100 and 200 meters again, known to be the fastest man in the world from Jamaica. You notice that he doesn't come out with a trench coat and boots. He comes out with the skimpiest little thing covering. It's so light. Those shoes, those cleats that they run in, those things are just featherweight. Why? Because they don't want any encumbrance. They don't want anything holding them back. And all of that is for gold, for something that'll hang there. Sure, it's endorsements. Many of them, they're millionaires. They will make an amazing living as a result. But you and I are running the race for eternity. And think about how focused we can be. Matter of fact, you remember Andy Stanfield or Bobby Morrow? Remember Jim Hines? Remember Tommy Smith? Any of you remember these guys? They won American gold in the very same 100 and 200 meters. Olympic gold, but we don't remember who they were. They were just a few decades ago. See how fleeting it is, the race that many people run. And to think for you and I, what we are running for is the race of eternity. And that is why for you and I, that we can come together and we can celebrate the Lord. I read out of Isaiah chapter 1, even though our sins are like scarlet, they're going to be completely wiped away, that they'll be as white as wool. We can thank God for that. But still, as we're running our race, the word of God is clear. And the writer of Hebrews knows that there are sins that encompass you and I. They wrap themselves around us. The word there is that closely, tightly hold on to us. Those are the sins we've got to let go of. Though our sins are forgiven, we still have to run this race, and we don't want to be beset, as the King James uses. The word literally means controlled. And there are those that love Jesus and are controlled by sins. It's one reason I appreciate Celebrate Recovery. It's one reason I appreciate accountability. I appreciate small group ministry, because you know what? Many times in those settings, we just get more real with others. And many times we're not real with ourselves. We have to get real with God and in turn to get real with others. And it takes that sense of accountability. It wasn't long ago I was sitting with a young man in my office and we're talking about an area of his life and I challenged him. And just before that, it was an older gentleman and I challenged him. And to both of them saying that you need to have someone, even if it's a daily accountability, that you hear a phone call, you call them, it's a quick check-in. It takes 2 minutes to say, how are you doing in that area, in order for you to truly get free. It should be that we could just live for God because we love Him, absolutely, and the power of the Holy Spirit, absolutely. But I, and you know, that there are struggles in our lives sometimes, and we just need that accountability, God with skin on, and so that holds you and I, so that we're open and honest about the struggles that we're having. We're running a race for all of eternity. So I'd ask you today another question. What is holding me back from running my race of faith? What holds you back today? As a matter of fact, sometimes it can be a very religious thing. Sometimes it can be something that is cloaked and it looks so good. But the fact is, it's holding you back from the race of your life. More importantly, what is holding you? What sin is besetting you, controlling you, tightly gripping you as you're trying to run this race that you want to be free to run? The third thing is the challenge to our faith. And this is a sense that I pick up here of the leg of the race that you and I have to run. Because he says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. See, those of chapter 11, they've already run the race. They're great examples. We look to them. We draw from them. We thank God for the example they give us. But he says as well, you and I have, and the word there in Greek, it has to do with lying, the root word, to lie. It lies before you. It is that you and I have something marked out for us, and we have to run our race now. And think of your race of faith today, because it's different than my race. It's different than the people next to you. Though all of us have seemingly the same hope and the same intent in our lives, we all have different hurdles. We all come from different backgrounds. We enter the race and we leave the race at different times. We're all running our own race that lies before us. And the point is that we're to run what God has set there. We each have our leg, if you will. And I think there's a hint of this, really, as we look to those that have run before us. And I love the look of a relay. I love that split second of the exchange of that baton. But you and I both know you can run the perfect leg of a relay race. And if you don't get the exchange, you've lost the race. How many times have we seen the top athletes in the world? They have done it thousands of times from this hand to that hand. And they ran such a perfect leg, and yet that person put the hand back, and somehow it was mishandled. It's a heartbreaking moment to watch. Central, this speaks directly to us today. We are committed to be a whole family church. And that is a very difficult, precarious thing in this day and age. I was just talking to someone again about it this week, and they were saying how hard it can be. And it just seems easier that you tend to just bring it down into one or two generations, but you move it on out into three or four generations, how hard it is. But friends, we're all running the same race, and we have to hand that baton well. It is absolutely critical. So the first thing is we realize in our own heart, our own life, that we run our leg well. But young people here, hear me. We need to respect those that have run before us. We need to honor those. College age, hear me. Youth fusion age, hear me. Young people today, hear me. We need to be thankful of those that might be two generations ahead of us, that have ran the race and ran it well. And we thank God for what they've done. And we need to honor them. Meanwhile, those that you've already run your race. I think of my grandmother years ago, and I cite her often because she had such a positive outlook, and she had such a proactive view of the church. And there she was in her 80s saying, Jeff, I don't understand all the changes. It's not like it once was, but I also know if we don't reach the young people in my little church there in Southeast Tennessee, if we don't reach those young people, we won't have a church in a few years. She understood the importance of running her leg, and oh, did she run it well. A home group leader at age 86, that's pretty good, I think. Still the head of the women's prayer meeting every week at 86 years of age. She ran her race. She finished her course. She kept the faith. But she also handed off after that leg. I want to ask you today, what role might I play for others in the race of faith? What role might I play for others? See, it concerned me. And the staff, this strategic team is this week, that we'll sit down in a meeting. We're going to look over the results of 2 weeks ago. But one thing that stood out to me was the number of people that are involved in ministry, either within or without Central Assembly. But then were the number of people that aren't involved in any form of ministry within or without Central Assembly. And that was telling to me. That broke my heart. You're running your leg, but it's just your leg. You're not even thinking of the relay you're in. But how many of you know, someone came before you. It's not just about you. And there's something about what you've received that you need to give, Jesus said. Freely we receive, freely we give. And so even as you reached back and someone handed you the baton of faith, you have to, in some way in your life, be ready when the exchange comes. And there are so many of you here, you are carrying 12 batons at the same time. And sitting next to you is someone that they just have their own. And they're just running their race, planning to tuck it away and go to heaven someday. But those of you carrying those many, it's because you are constantly, there's baton handing off constantly here as people of faith are saying, hey, I'm not running this thing alone. I want someone. I want to help someone along the way. What role might I have to play in the race that others are running? The fourth thought here is the nature of faith. And I'll be very brief with this. We covered it quite well last week. Not an easy message to give, to be honest with you, because the end of chapter 11 is not a real fun ending to faith. But how many of you know faith gets tested? And we go through great perseverance. And we read here of the nature of our faith, and that is the demand to persevere. And again, that is the heart of the entire book here. And even in the book of Hebrews, we have that word apostate or apostasy, that it is those that have turned away from the faith. And there are six key warnings throughout the book of Hebrews, because it is a book saying, hang in there, don't turn away, keep looking to Jesus. It is a constant theme. And so there's a persevering in our faith. And I'd ask you, the next question would be, what is my greatest challenge in my race of faith? And it might be a sin in your life. It might be an area of just laziness or sloth in your life. It may be a person. It may be a situation. It may be something in your past. Whatever it is, what is that greatest challenge? And you know that you are going to have to persevere to run that race. How many know Pastor Mike right now is persevering through something? I'm telling you, pray right now. Hopefully he's about done. But there's going to be persevering as he does those three legs, facets of that race today. But then we get to what I think is at the heart of these few verses. And really because of the previous chapters, not just 11 and 10, but as we go all the way back, see, there is a key word to the book of Hebrews, and that is the word better. And the context of the book of Hebrews is a comparison of the old to the new, of the law versus grace, of what Moses did, he opens up with, and what Jesus did. And so we read 18 different times the word better or the word greater. We're told in chapter 6 that we have better things in our case than they did, that we have a better hope and a better covenant in chapter 7, that we have better promises in chapter 8 and a better sacrifice in chapter 9. And better, more lasting possessions in eternity in chapter 10. And all of this is because of what he brings you and I to in chapter 12. But he starts even earlier. And back in chapter 2, he begins by unpackaging the comparison of Moses to Jesus. And as good as Moses was for us, how much greater is Jesus for us? And then he begins to talk about how Jesus took on the form of flesh, that Son of God became Son of Man, and how Jesus is not ashamed to call you and I brothers and sisters today, that we're part of a family. There's an intimacy that we share with Christ. All of these things that Jesus was tempted like as we are, and yet without sin. And we come into Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, and there it is again. It's the therefore. Therefore, holy brothers, in view of what Jesus has done, the holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus. You ever had anybody say to you in your life, pay attention, pay attention? That's what he's doing here. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and the high priest whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, God the Father, just as Moses was faithful in all of God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all of God's house, testifying to what was to be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. We are his house if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. Big if there. But that's chapter 3. Now we're all the way to chapter 12. Chapter 3, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle of our faith. Our great high priest, chapter 12, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author, perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. All of Hebrews from chapter 1, building to chapter 12, that's why we couldn't end at chapter 11 and say we're done with one of the greatest chapters of the Bible. We had to press on in, because here we come to the culmination of our faith. The absolute culmination of your faith is Jesus. So fix your thoughts on him, fix your eyes on him, who what? Who endured the cross, scorning its shame. Now he's at the right hand of the Father. Keep your focus on Jesus as you run the race. He's greater than Moses. Remember, who's he writing to? These Jewish believers. To them, Moses is everything. But now he's saying, yes, we thank God for Moses, but Jesus is greater. We thank God for the law. Without the law, Paul said, you and I, we wouldn't even know what sin is. We have to have the law. And God has graciously even written the law in our hearts, which makes us accountable to God that we do know what is right and wrong. The law is good, but grace is so much better. That we understand all of the trappings of the sacrifices and the daily rituals that the priest did. But Hebrews comes along to say, Jesus, once and for all, he died that sacrifice, and we still remember it today in honor of him and in remembrance of what he's done for us. And so the bottom line is, fix your eyes upon Jesus. How many know in a race it can be very distracting if your eyes aren't fixed? If you really, I never was very fast. I was kind of quick, but I wasn't fast. I mean, it was a big difference. I wish I was fast. I watch those runners run. Do you notice that they're rather focused in the Olympics? Have you noticed that? I mean, think of how fixated they are upon that lane, upon the rhythm, upon what they've done over and over and over again. Now, the last guy, he wasn't fixated on anything. He kind of roamed lanes. You see him there at the end. That poor guy behind him. But the guy should have been faster. Could have heard an amen. He'd have been ahead of him then. But that guy, he's just all over the place. You ever known a follower of Jesus that kind of ran a race like that? That it seemed like it was just everything's just a struggle. They don't stay in the right lane. They're not running the leg that they're called to run. I have. And it's a challenge. But you know what the key is? The key. Fix your eyes on Jesus. That's one reason the church is important. I've met so many people. I saw the guy recently on TV, and I've seen his clips on YouTube and all. But, you know, I hate established religion, and yet he loves Jesus. I understand that. But can I just give you a little tip today? We are the body of Christ. So when we say we love Jesus, guess what? We love one another too. Matter of fact, that was his greatest commandment. And in essence, we have some that say, I hate the church, but oh, I love Jesus. Jesus says we, the church, are his body. So if you're going to love him, look around today. Look at me. God love me, right? Because you love Jesus. I have to love you. Ooh. We love each other. Why? Because we're the body of Christ. So you know what? Fixing our eyes on Jesus is one reason you go to church. Fixing your eyes on Jesus is one reason that you connect, as we ask for three connection points here. Not only a church service like this, but oh, find a small group. We have dozens of them. We just showed them to you a few weeks ago. And beyond that is to connect in ministry. And all of these things, they enrich your life. And you know what? They're a part of keeping your focus on Jesus. One reason to read the Word and to be faithful, to look at doctrine, to be careful on what your faith is, what you're believing in. One reason for that is because you're fixed on Jesus. One reason that you're concerned about our community, and not just this community right around Boonville, but our community wherever we may live, and we'll talk about that in October. But one reason is because we're so fixed on Jesus, we don't want anyone left behind that doesn't know him. And so our heart for our souls is because we're fixed on Jesus. Our heart for missions is because we're fixed on Jesus. Our heart for passionate worship and song is because we're fixed on Jesus. Do you see the distractions that can come? When it comes to music, oh, I don't like that song. The drums are too loud. I don't like Tom. How many love Tom? What a gift to us, amen? But seriously, we can get distracted. Get your eyes on Jesus. Little squabbles take place in relationships all the time. Well, then I'm just going to leave the church. Come on, grow up and look to Jesus. Keep fixed on Jesus. If you'll keep fixed on Jesus, you'll make it in your race that God has given you to run. Number six, and the last, and I think it's just an obvious goal, and then we'll close, is a goal of our faith, and that is to finish the race. I mean, it's not really written here, and yet it is stated that Jesus is what? The author and the finisher of our faith. And how many of you know, if he ran it, look at verse number 3. Consider Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Again, you're running the race. This is over and over again. He's writing saying, I don't want you to get weary. I don't want you to lose heart. I want you to keep running. I want you to make it to the very end. Finish this thing out. Why? Because Jesus ran that race ahead of us. And we need to be thankful for what he did for us. And so we run the race as he ran the race. Live Dead has been an amazing experience for me. I'd had the book months ago. And I purposely shelved it because I knew what we were going to do this month. And there's about 500 of us that have the book. Hopefully we're all walking through it. A lot of good interaction. We're going to talk about it a week from Wednesday night some. But oh, as I read through that, you realize the race that many are running right now in East Africa. And it's popped on up into Egypt and a few other countries now in the last few days have been mentioned. The people living their life, if you will, dead because of the life of Jesus in them. And you know, that's the call for all of us. Galatians 2, I've been crucified with Christ. So I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live, that's contradictory. There you go, you're living dead. I no longer live, but the life that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me, fixing our eyes see upon Jesus. Let me ask you as we close, how committed are you to finishing your race of faith? I mean, that's what it's going to come down to, is commitment. Commitment to him, commitment to one another, commitment to his word, commitment to his kingdom. Above all, fixing your eyes on Jesus. How committed are you? And there are a lot of other things. As I talked 2 weeks ago on Sunday night, the men, we met in the chapel, and we talked about this very subject, taking 2 Timothy chapter 4, on running the race, Paul said. He fought the fight. He finished the race, the course that God had for him. And we talked about a lot of the distractions and things. And you know what? There are a lot of areas that will defeat you and I in this race, but we have to keep fixed upon Jesus. Have to keep fixed on Jesus. Three things, and as we close, running the race well will involve these three things. Very simple. You and I receiving the baton well, right? And think for just a moment, who gave you faith? Now, Romans 12 says, of course, God has given each one of us a measure of faith. But I know in my life, and I know it's true of so many of you here, that you're sharing your faith and you're letting others know of your faith. And many of you, you have taken that baton and you've done such a good job with it. But the first thing is you have to receive, and all of us have received from somebody. Aren't you thankful for those that have invested into you, that you had that baton? Second thing is you have to run your leg well. You have to run your leg well. And all of us, a different race that we have, run it. And the third thing is then to make the exchange, is that you don't want to leave people here without the same faith you have. And so we reach out, and we want others to know. And those that do know, we reach out in discipling and encouraging and caring for one another. It's an amazing team we're on, isn't it? And you know what? I'm pulling for every one of you, whether I know you or not. I'm pulling for you. And I hope we're pulling for one another here. Years ago, I heard the story of a pastor. He was up in Colorado, as I recall, and he said he was looking for that picture. He was looking for an illustration. He was looking for something that he could take back to his church and say, church, this is us. I just saw the picture of us, how we work as an organization, as an organism. And he said he went to, I think it was an NCAA Division I, I think it was Colorado Buffaloes, one of their games. And he said he went there, and as he looked, he thought, oh, this is it. This is what the church looks like. But then he said, I looked and I realized how incredibly well fit and all the discipline, everything, because I don't know if that's quite the picture of my church. He went to another similar event, and he said, as I looked, I realized again, they're just too well organized, and we just have so many flaws, and when I look at, I don't know. And then he went to the Special Olympics, and he said that those boys lined up. The gun went off, and he said, oh, they were running. You can picture them, Down syndrome, many of them mentally not having full capability. And they're running in their lanes and they're kind of jagged. And he said, all of a sudden I'm watching. And he said, my heart's going out and I'm pulling for those guys. Every one of them to be a winner. And he said, all of a sudden one in the middle just plopped and fell down on the cinder track. Skinned up his knees, hands went out. And he began to cry, big crocodile tears. And he said, all the others, they kept running. They were so focused. All of a sudden one realized that one had stopped. And he said, all of a sudden, the one stopped, and he looked back, and one by one, they all just stopped, and they looked back. And they turned, and they went back, and they brushed off his tears. And he said, they all joined hands, and they ran the race together, and they hit the finish line. And he said, I just saw the picture of the church. Amen. Friends, we're in the same race. Different legs, we're in the same race. And it takes you and I, not alone, because of how bright we are, how rich we are, how whatever we are, how talented and gifted we may be. No. It's that we realize we need each other. And we're going to have some that will fall. And I said to the men 2 weeks ago, and everybody hear this, a righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets up every time. And so we're going to have times that one of us will fall. Let's not go back and put our cleats on him. Let's run back and take hold of his hand and lift him up. Say, come on, man, we could do this. We can pull together. We can run our race. We can all receive the prize. Amen. Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning? With heads bowed and eyes closed, we'll leave out of these doors in just a moment. But I'd ask you this morning, is there anyone here? Whatever life you're living, you feel like you're in a race. Say, man, life, it is a rat race. It's crazy, Jeff. I know. It's an amazing day, the pace we live today. It's almost frightening. You could barely keep up. A lot of us understand that. I have seniors say to me all the time, they looked at retirement, they thought it would slow down so much. They say, I don't know where all my time's going, but life's busy. It doesn't matter. We're all just moving so fast. But do you know the only thing that really matters in the end is this race that we've talked about today. It's what the entire book of Hebrews brings you and I to today, is the race in your life. And I'd ask you this morning, before we walk out of these doors, are you running the race with your eyes on Jesus? What's your focus? What's your goal? What's your plan? Say, I've been so wrapped up, Jeff, it's all business because I have to provide for my family. I understand that, but aren't you looking to Jesus? All of these things, Jesus said, will follow after if you'll just keep focused upon Him and His kingdom. You may be here and you are so fixated on something that happened years ago and you have fallen off the track and you always get hung up looking at people. And today you know I need to come back and I just need to look to Jesus and focus upon Him. Is there anybody here? Maybe you say, Jeff, for the first time in my life, I realized that Jesus ran that race. He went to the cross. He bore my sin and the sins of everyone here today. And today is your day that you say, I want to ask Him to forgive me of my sins. And I want to get on the right track. I want to start running the race that God intended me to run. He made me to run. And that's true of every one of you here. It's just opening your heart to Jesus and beginning to follow Him in faith. Would there be anyone here? You say, Jeff, that's me. Would you pray for me? And just put up your hand real quick and put it down. Let me just see it. But you say, I want to get in this race. I want to follow Jesus. I need Him to forgive me of my sins today, and I want to get started. Anyone quickly, you put up that hand. Anybody, you just put up your hand real fast. Put it up and put it down. I'll see it, and we'll pray for you right now. Is there anyone here? Anyone quickly? Anyone this morning? Give you just a moment. Yes, I see that hand. God bless you, young lady. Anybody else? Quickly, put up that hand. You put up that hand right now. You say, this is it. It's a moment of decision. The race I'm running, I'm choosing today to run with Him and to run for Him. And to run after Him and to look to Him. Is there anybody else here? You put up the hand right now. Anybody else? Give you a moment longer. I see that hand, young lady. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Awesome. Oh, we thank God. Let Him work on your heart right now. It's worth it. It's so worth it to us as a church to see you make a decision for Jesus. Anybody else? You put up that hand right now. Anyone else? Anyone else? I'm going to ask the prayer team to slip forward if they will right now. Prayer team, would you come across the front? Just very quickly, anyone else, you put up that hand, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray right now. Anyone else? Anyone else? With heads bowed, then, and eyes closed, would you pray with me these words? And these aren't like a magical prayer or a mantra in any way. This is based upon Scripture, the book of Romans, that we come and we express faith in Jesus, what we believe in our heart, and we express it with our mouth. Okay, you may say, well, I don't understand everything. You don't have to. Do you understand today that all of us have sinned, that includes you, that all of us have sinned and that Jesus paid the price, the eternal, perfect price that no one else can pay? You even yourself, living as good a life as you want to live, you'd have to surrender your heart to Jesus because He is a sacrifice, the only one for your sins today. No matter how hard you try, it's a matter of gift, of grace from God. So would you pray with me? Now I'm going to ask the whole church to pray together. If you would, let's pray these words. Oh God, I know that I've sinned. Your Bible is clear. And I believe in Jesus. That He is your Son. That He died on the cross for my sins. please forgive me and cleanse me and give me mercy rather than judgment. I look to Jesus, who died and was raised again, and ask that his life be my life today. Please come into my heart. Change me from the inside out. And I look to you now. I turn from my sin. And I look to you now. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen.